Father, that we will be incense burners. We will be, O God, soakers in your presence. And so, Father, now thank you that we can join the heavenly hosts in worship. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Dion. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Chris. Woo! 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 Day and night day, let incense rise. You know, if it gets any better, I won't be able to do these kind of things. I'd be like, just lay me down, leave me alone, pick me up tomorrow. But I have a word that I'm not going to spend a lot of time. You know, the Lord just wrecked my message. He just wrecked it. And I worked hard on that. So let me do what I think I can do. All right? I want you to get your Bible out, go to the book of Luke 24 and verse 49. And you all are going to have to follow along because I don't have these in my notes at all. So I kind of leave the notes up there. Luke 24, verse 49. And the Bible says this: Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem when? Until. Everybody say until.
Until.
Okay, that was about 50% of you. Help the preacher out. All right? Say until.
Until.
Okay, until you are endued with power from on high. Now, let me just make a qualifying statement. To those that have ascribed to Pentecostalism or charismatic movement, this scripture has become engraved on tablets and written along with Acts chapter 1:8 into the archives of your doctrinal positions. And there's nothing wrong with doctrine. However, this scripture is talking about a place in God that Jesus said, I want you to go, that when you get there, you're going to receive power. You're going to be endued with power from on high. And then I want you to go out from that place of power, and I want you to be my witnesses unto Jerusalem, Judea, and even the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, if you go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, this is Peter quoting the book of Joel. And the book of Joel is talking about a day would come where the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh. And in the upper room where they went, on the command of Jesus, in that place, to wait until they were endued with power, this is part of the promise. Acts 2:17 says, and I want you to read it with me, it's on the screen, and it shall, in the last days, that I will pour out of my Spirit, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, this is not just a doctrinal statement. And in modern Christendom or modern full gospel churches, that may be in the dogma. It may be written as a belief, but yet it doesn't seem to be embraced as a practice. Now, Jesus constantly said through the New Testament parables, he who has an to hear, let him hear what the... Now, Jesus was constantly encouraging people to get their prophetic hearing. Jesus himself spoke prophetically. We saw that last week. When Jesus came into the synagogue after coming out of the wilderness under the power of the Holy Spirit, he said, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. They went on in that dialogue or in that narrative to say, wait a minute, this is a carpenter's son. And Jesus said, no prophet is without honor but in his own home country. So Jesus called himself a prophet. And he took the book of Isaiah and he spoke it into his relationship with his disciples and those in the synagogue that day as a prophetic utterance. He released, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and he has anointed me with the Holy Spirit and power. And he goes on to talk about what he's going to do. He relates to himself as a prophet, and he speaks the word of God. Now, we know today that as a generation of Christ followers, that we have to see the difference between the two factors that are growing together in the church. Now, I'm going to go to a little story this morning, and this is kind of unrehearsed, so I'm just kind of flying solo blind. That's what I'm doing. So here's what the Lord said to me. In the church today, in this generation and where we are, there are two sisters in the same house. Two sisters in the same house. In the same house, in the same city. And in this house, these two sisters dwell, is a city called Bethany. Okay? And one sister's name is Martha. And another sister's name is Mary. Mary and Martha in the same house. They're sisters. They're part of the family. And I want you to see what happens in this narrative when Jesus comes to Bethany. Now, we have spoke this scripture over funerals far too long. In John chapter 11, it's about the resurrection of Lazarus. And there's an interaction between Jesus and Martha. Do you remember it? Martha said, Lord, Lord, had you been here, my brother would not have died. And they have a dialogue. But I also want you to know that Mary has a dialogue with Jesus as well and says the very same thing. She said, Lord, had you been here, my brother would not have died. It's interesting that both sisters say the same thing, but Jesus responds differently to each of them. Now go back with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and I think it's verse 6. Here we are again at Bethany. Verse 6, and when Jesus was in Bethany, he was at the house of Simon the leper. Are you following me so far? And a woman came to him. Have you heard this story before? Having an alabaster box. Now, there was a woman that, I think C.C. Winans, that made this story very, very famous. You know, you don't know the cost of my alabaster box, you know, the whole thing. And she sang it beautifully. This is where the story comes from. But notice something. Jesus was where? In Bethany. And he was in the house of Simon the leper. A woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. Now, it was custom for the guests to sit around or recline at the table. The disciples were probably with him. Simon was probably nearby. Servants were all about, and whoever else gathered in the house. All of a sudden, this woman comes into the room and does something very peculiar. The Bible says she poured very costly fragrant oil on his head as he was trying to finish his Burger King. And oil began running down his face. But when his disciples saw it, what did they say? They were indignant. Why this waste? They said. For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Now I want you to catch something here. Because what we're discovering are the two churches, or the two sisters, or the two factions of people who love God, but one loved doctrine more than they loved Jesus. Now watch. So they're saying, hey, what are you doing? We could have sold that and given to the poor. And Jesus said, why do you trouble this woman? For she's done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Now this is something that Jesus says that blows my mind. The next scripture. In verse 13. Assuredly, you can take it to the bank, Jesus said. I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. She tapped into something that Jesus said would literally testify to the entire world. The whole world would know about this act. So let's go back to Lazarus, John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, there are professional mourners that have joined the family. They're there to comfort the bereaved. And it says in verse 1, there was a certain man who was sick, Lazarus of Bethany. Now this is interesting that the scripture identifies the city. Bethany, because we just read about Bethany in Matthew chapter 26. Now there's a reference that even further identifies the experience of Mary with the alabaster. It says that this was the town of Mary and her sister Martha, and it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The Bible is very specific to point out to you and me that in this story of Lazarus dying, that there was a Mary who was present with the Martha. And the backstory of Mary is that she was at Bethany with Simon the leper, and she is the one who poured out this extravagant worship upon Jesus. So the Bible tells us in the death of Lazarus, don't forget, this is the Mary that was intimate with Jesus back there. And the disciples became indignant over her passion for her Lord. You following it so far? Therefore, the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard this, he said, you know what? This sickness isn't to death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So he loved them all. He didn't say he loved Mary or just Martha. He said, I love Mary, I love Martha, and I love Lazarus. Let me say this. Jesus loves you. So the scripture goes on to tell us about this story. Jesus stayed 2 more days. So Lazarus was dead 4. We taught on that, saying the rabbis taught that when a person was dead 4 days, it was noted as an impossibility for them to be resurrected. Jesus waited for impossible to set in. Sometimes we get anxious. We think, God, don't you know we need this? God, where are you? God, you need to help me with that. And God says, you know what? I'm just going to let impossible set in. Because I want you to know that when impossible sets in, that's when I show up. And I'm able to do something that everybody else around you thinks is absolutely impossible. So Jesus shows up, 4 days now dead. And we pick up the story when Martha hears that Jesus had come to Bethany. Verse 20. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Interestingly, Mary was sitting in the house. So Martha, right away, went to meet Jesus. He's en route. She goes running. Mary stays sitting. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, put it up there if you would, verse 21. Yeah, there it is. Okay. Say it with me, please. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Say it one more time, please. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, I want to point something else out in this scripture, because that is exactly what Mary says. Martha said, Lord, you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Mary, when she ultimately meets Jesus, says the same thing. And that's found in verse 32. So if you can put up verse 32, I want you to see that Martha said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Now Mary is speaking, and what do we read in that last part of the scripture? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, would you agree with me that both sisters agreed together that had Jesus been there, he wouldn't have died, right? Would you also agree that they both had the same mourning or statement of grief? They both approached Jesus the same. Okay, sort of. Let's go back and look at it again. Martha said, had you been here, my brother would not have died. And then she says, but even I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Even I know, I've got knowledge about you, God. I know what your Bible says about you. Don't you try to fool me. I know that whatever you ask of God, God will do. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection, the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Whoever lives in me and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Mary said, Lord, had you been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And she gets a dialogue on doctrine. Jesus says, let me tell you about the resurrection. Let me tell you about what eschatology says. Let me tell you about what you already know. Let me clarify. Let me add to what you already know. She approached him on a level of knowledge, and he responded with more knowledge. Nothing wrong with that. I'd like to hear Jesus preach. But then I want you to look at Mary. Mary says the very same thing, but she gets quite the different response. Then when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and did something. She fell at his feet. A posture she was very familiar with. Go back in Matthew 26, verse 6 in your mind. The last time we hear about Mary of Bethany is when she was intimate with Jesus in the front of everybody, didn't care because day and night let incense rise. And so she was in a place of intimacy and worship. So as soon as she saw Jesus, she runs to him and she says, Lord, had you been here, my brother would not have died. But she becomes intimate with him immediately. Jesus responded to her differently. Now look how Jesus responds. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit. And was troubled. As soon as she got into that place of intimacy, it moved him. This isn't about a classroom. This isn't about doctrine. This woman is touching me. And he groaned. He groaned. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. Shortest verse in the Bible, John 8:32. Jesus, the reason why Jesus wept is because Mary moved him to tears. He was not moved to tears because Lazarus was dead. Because he knew he was about to raise that sucker up. Huh? You know that was good, Creed. And so Lazarus was about to be raised. Jesus didn't go, Lazarus, he's dead. I'm going to raise him up in about a minute, but no, he was moved to tears because Mary's intimacy moved him to tears. And I said, God, when's the last time my worship has moved you to tears? And then the Jews said, see how he loved him? It's the same kind of response Martha had. See how God loves Lazarus. He's weeping. No, you don't get it. He's not weeping because Lazarus is dead. He wept because Mary moved him to tears. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Okay, look, I want to know, if God's so loving and powerful, why do babies die? He's old God. In other words, they had this doctrinal debate going. And they were the same camp that Martha was from. And a church in this year, 2013, this season is emerging with two sisters in the family. There are those who want to argue and debate about doctrine. And there are others who know the truth, capital T. And all they want to do is be in the glorious presence of a living Lord and worship and become intimate with Him. Two different responses. And so Mary sees the resurrection of Christ. However, when the stone was removed, what does it say? Sorry about the noise there. It's on my jacket and I don't really care. So I'm just working it. All right, it's okay. All right, you ready? Where are we at? Oh, here we go. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha says to Jesus, "Take away the stone. Lord, by this time there's a stench. For he's been dead 4 days." You still don't believe it. You still don't believe it. He said, "I'm the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live." Do you believe this? She still doesn't believe it. "Roll away the stone." "Lord, he's been dead 4 days and you go stink the place up. Don't do that. Do you understand how bad that's going to smell?" She still doesn't get it. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." There are 30 days left in 2013. 30 days. And I'm going to invite you along with me to so become intimate with Christ that we will make him cry one time before the end of the year. Move him to tears with your passion. Move him to tears with your pursuit of him. Move him to an emotional relationship with you. You know what? We have preached that message over people's bodies at funerals wrong. We cash right into the doctrine. And so we take John chapter 11, one of the most quoted New Testament passages over funeral services, and we say, "Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And all the people said, "Amen." I'm serious, folks. It would be better served for us preachers to say, "Here lies my beloved sister, who was known to often make her Lord weep because she knew who he was." You and I are going to have to make a decision. Are we going to go into the life? Are we going to stay into the truth? Not that we forsake truth, but we don't allow the little T's to become the object of our affection. causing division among us, separation, disunity, and denominationalism. Jesus said, I am the way. In the early 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, there was the discovery of salvation through faith by God's grace. Did you know for hundreds of years, people lived in darkness, didn't know God. All they knew was religion. The inquisitions of the Roman Catholic Church, the warrings of the Muslims and Christians over a locality, all in the name of God. And finally, Luther had a revelation. It's by faith. And it changed the world. But truth began to erupt. Suddenly, we found Baptists, Calvin and Knox and many of the others discovered what water baptism is. And people began to repent and be baptized in immersion. People began to discover other truths like healing and gifts of the Spirit. And there was a restoration of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to tell you that most of those movements have become denominations, and we now are more in love and intimate with what we believe than He whom has come and died for us. We become this defenders of truth at the expense of intimacy. You say, hey, preacher, are you trying to say that we shouldn't believe? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we need to know the truth and it sets us free, but it's capital T. He is truth. Jesus is truth. Jesus is truth. Are you a Mary? Are you a Martha? Are you intimate with Him? Have you become to the point where unless you're in His presence, you can't make it? Or have we become so self-sufficient in what we know that we no longer need Him? I believe God is taking the church behind the veil into the very life of God. And you and I will operate out of that relationship of great power. Someone said this. Let me see if I have it written down. I don't want to misquote it. Someplace. Lord, help me find that. Here it is. We are a spirit trying to have a temporary human experience. Let me say that again. We are a spirit trying to have a temporary human experience. We are not human beings trying to have a temporary spiritual experience. That's what churchgoers do. I've heard it so many times. I'm only human. Don't make me slap you. I am a spirit. My spirit is in communion with the Holy Spirit. I go and say what He says to say and go where He tells me to go. I hear the voice of God. I am a prophetic generation. I move under the power, the endowment of the power of God. And we penetrate this dark world with the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary got more than a teaching on resurrection. She got him. And I don't know about you, but I'm just like over downloaded with all the teaching. Y'all are so smart. I mean, you know, you break it down. Whew. Never knew you guys were so smart. Not, you know, just whoever. I don't need another teaching on some profound truth. I need an encounter with the living God who will transform my life. Amen. Now, don't misinterpret me. Some of you out there going, I don't think the man thinks preaching and teaching is important. You are misinterpreting me. Mary and Martha both knew that had Jesus been there, he wouldn't have died. They both knew it. But isn't it interesting? Your relationship with him determines what you receive from him. Somebody's saying, I don't know. I never see anybody healed. Or I don't know. I just don't really know. I mean, that's kind of weird. I mean, you know, they're talking about how the glory of God and all this stuff. I've never seen that. Maybe you pang in the pots too much in the kitchen. Maybe it's time for you to break out your alabaster and pour it all over his head. And don't care who's there, who sees, how indignant they get. Doesn't matter to me. I'm going to lay out on the floor. I'm going to do whatever to get in his presence. And I'm going to let God begin to download in my life who he is. Maybe it's time for us to go to that. How many would say amen?
Amen.
Last Sunday night, those of you that were here, how many were here last Sunday night? Let me show you. A ton of you. Yeah. Those of you that didn't come, we're doing another Soaking Prophetic Night December 18th. Don't miss it. December 18th. That's a Wednesday night. Don't miss it. I'm going to have a special speaker in here who is prophet, but ministers in prophecy, plus our ministerial prophetic team. I mean, Sunday night, we got in the presence of God from a CD. Nobody else up here, just a CD playing. By the time I got up off the floor, the glory was so heavy on me, I'm like, whoo, whoo, whoo. And suddenly we put chairs up everywhere, said, if you want ministry, come up here and sit. People, I bet you there was 200-300 people that received ministry. And I was walking around listening to what people were doing and saying. And there were words being released. People were weeping and crying and getting breakthroughs from the presence of God. It's what Pastor Tossie was talking about, building an altar with God. But you don't want to miss Wednesday night. You get out of step. You miss one meeting and you're like, huh? You know, this is such a fast download, exponential move of God. You don't want to miss one opportunity to come into the presence of God. And I think we had over 400 people here on Sunday night. I mean, you think about that. That was amazing on a Sunday night. And that's because the people are hungry for the presence of God. So with me right now, just close your eyes. And Dion, are you out there somewhere? Thank you, Lord. Father, we just want that place of intimacy. Father, we just want that place where we can pour out of our life on you. We just want to release it, God. Just release it on you right now. So right where you're sitting, just make that your prayer. And just lift your hands before the Lord and go ahead, my brother. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've captured my heart, God. I am yours, and you are mine. And your banner over me is love. My beloved, running over the mountains, holding and embracing me and calling me to a close communion with you. Oh God, I thirst and I hunger for the presence of my God. I thirst and I hunger for the glory of my God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice.
Thank you, Lord.
You provide the Spirit.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
I will open up inside. Fill me up. Fill me up, God. Fill me. Fill me up. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the Spirit. I will open up. Fill me up. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. 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 You provide the Spirit. I will open up.
One more time, but in preparation for Wednesday, I want you to consider building an altar, because that's where the sacrifices were laid. If you'll build the altar and present the sacrifice, God said he'll send the fire.
You'll provide the fire,
right? So as we sing that, make that covenant, make that commitment
I'll
to build
provide
an altar.
The sacrifice. You provide the Spirit.
Yeah.
I will open up inside.
Thank you, Lord.
You provide the fire. You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. Provide the Spirit. I will open up and fill me up. 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 And healing in your body. I call forth right now settledness and peace of mind in Jesus' name. I call forth freedom from addictions in Jesus' name. I call forth
I call forth liberty in the realm of the spirit right now. I call forth freedom from religion in Jesus' name. I call forth the release of the sense of insignificance. I call forth you into your purpose, into your destiny. I call you forth now in the name of Jesus. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is.
Mountain with my head wide open, I will climb.
just say a couple things. First of all, if you're here this morning and you're really not connecting with this message and you're thinking, you know what, I just don't feel God, I don't sense anything. Look, there's nothing wrong with you. So don't let the enemy say, oh, there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. I believe today is your first step in your journey where you are going to become an intimate follower of Jesus Christ. And here's the beauty of it. There's a parable about these workers in the vineyard that had been there all day, and then the last minute, the vineyard owner goes out and hires some more people. And he brings them in there and they work for about an hour. At the end of the day, the vineyard owner comes in and he starts paying everybody. He goes, okay, here's $100 for you, $100 for you, $100 for you. And he gives the dude that came in there the last 60 minutes the same pay as the people that have been there all day. And the ones around there that have been working, they said, hey, we should have got more. And he said, no, it's my vineyard. And I will give the same no matter what time they show up. And I want you to know something. If you'll make a decision today for the next 30 days to build an altar that moves God to tears, you know, the times I'm most moved by my family is when they show me love. I mean, I'm like a softy. I'm like, aw, you thought about me? Aw, you got that from me? When they show affection toward me, little things, it moves me. And the Bible said in Malachi, the last prophetic voice, in the last days, I will turn the hearts of the fathers toward the children and the children toward the father. And I believe this, we're being reintroduced to your daddy God. Some of you have been orphans, but you're not an orphan anymore. God's got a plan for you, and he wants to know you, and you want to know him. Amen. Now, I need to do a couple things. So you can stay seated, standing, whatever you want. Sister Esther Bowman, what a beautiful lady. Beat us to heaven. I don't know about these people that get there before me, but nonetheless, Sister Esther, her funeral is Saturday, December 7th. She was an usher in the ministry. She was with us, I think, right from the beginning at Embassy Suites. And every time I come to church, she'd always encourage me and slip things into my hand and be a blessing to me. And on December 7th, at Lucas Memorial Funeral Home, right up on Garfield Boulevard, 9010, will be the service. The repast will be at 10, and then the service at 11. And what we'd like to do, the funeral ministry, under the direction of Fontaine, is going to provide the family with some food. But we need some money to pay for it. So if you'd like to give an offering for benevolence, this is a bereavement actually, ushers will be at the door. And we'd like to be able to get a gift certificate for them and pay for it this morning. So we need, you know, a couple, $300-$400. So how many would be kind enough to, would you be generous? All right, all six of you, thank you. Okay, and then we're going to worship some more. We're going to dismiss you. Sister Shirley has a testimony. I don't have a mic, so I don't know what you're going to talk in. Just talk into me. Go ahead. There we go.
Praise the Lord. This is something amazing today. The power of the Holy Spirit is in this place. Guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. The service. On last night, I had two guests into my home go to this church. And I had shared, we were talking about the Lord. Something happened to me a few months ago right there in that on that floor. You was here, Pastor. I don't know how many here else was here. And when I laid in that floor, you laid hands on me. And I was slain in the spirit. And as I was slain in the spirit, my spirit left my body. I could hear. I heard Elder Clarence and some people like standing around me, And Elder Clarence said, "She's in the throne room." I could hear him plain as a day. And when he spoke those words to me, if you notice, my hand was up like this. And I was kind of laying it on that this elbow, like on that chair right there where the sister's sitting in. And it stayed that way. And it stayed there, and I was there a long time. People had begun to leave all the services. After I was laying there, I heard my heart. When it came back, my spirit came back into my body. And my daughter, Miana, when she came up there by my head, and she said, "Mama, Mama," and that's when I opened my eyes. When I opened my eyes, I seen you and Pastor Tarsus standing down there, and you all was talking. There was a few other men, Elder Clarence, I don't know if it was you, it was a few other men that were standing right by me, helped me to get up. And I never told this to nobody. Just so strange. The power of the Holy Spirit was in my home yesterday. And I began to share. But I go back a few days, like that Wednesday. And I had shared this on our way from the nursing home. I was talking to Sister Pauline. I said, I never told my daughter Vantane. I said, but when she get back, I'm going to tell her from California. And I began to share with her in the car what experience I had happened to me here in the floor. All last night, when we were sitting around with the Bible and we was talking about the goodness of the Lord and eating leftovers and everything, God brought this to my remembrance to tell it last night. And I shared it with my family, my daughter Vantane, my daughter Joyce and Miana, and two other guests that was in my home. And when I came here, this got up early this morning, the Lord spoke these words to me. Say, when Miana called you by your name, called me Mama, Mama, life entered back into my body. And I woke up, my eyes woke up. I walked, Pastor Torsi then walked over this way and came behind those seats. And I got up, sit for a few minutes and went behind those seats. And my daughter was asking me a lot of questions, Miana was. And I said, "Oh, you silly," you know, and enough. But I didn't want to share it. I didn't want my daughter to be worried about me. And the next thing, I didn't want people thinking that I'm so this and so that, because I am nobody but a child of the King. God used me in different gifts, but it's all God, it's not me. And I give him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise go to him. Just last week, a lady laid out, had a dumb spirit, got totally healed and delivered. The Lord spoke to me, said, "Now teach your words." And I put a chair up in front of her and began to teach her words. And she began to repeat the words after me. All right. No longer than early this morning. I could go on and on, but I'm not. But no longer than early this morning, I got a call. Family that live in New Jersey went on a Thanksgiving trip for the family, with the family. And this lady ended up in Detroit in the hospital, threatened for life. I got that call yesterday morning. I prayed the prayer of faith, believing. He said, when you pray, believe. And I prayed that prayer of faith. I got a call early this morning, Pastor, that she all is well. That's God. That's God. That's God. That's God. That's God. I walked in this church this morning. A young girl came up to me last Sunday when I was standing there. This morning, the father, I think it might have been the wife, and there was two other children. As I was coming through, stopped me and said, when you prayed for my daughter, she haven't had no more headaches since then. So God is moving in a mighty way, in a powerful way. And I see the anointing upon you, Pastor. It's different than ever before. I see it's like a transformation that's taking place, like a shift that taken completely change have taken within you and also within the church, within the body. Like never before. But guess what? Pastor, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. God got great things for you. Let me tell you something. Your grandson, where is it? The one at Dion. Dion, I used to sit in that seat right there. And I would love to hear him praise and worship the Lord. I would go to him. When I would see him at the church, and I said, oh, you are so anointed. I said, I'd love to hear you sing.
Amen.
Praises. I've been praying for him and some of the, all the others that left out for their college education. But this time, when he sung today, it brought power in this place. I mean fire in this place today. I could see that there has been a shift in him. A transformation has taken place within him. And his voice has gotten so strong and anointed of God. God got great things for him. Not only for him, but for all of them. God bless you.
Amen. Woo. Well, we are going to dismiss you. But you are certainly welcome to linger at the altar. And if you would be generous and give $5 or $10 for the bereavement on the way out, that'd be awesome. But live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Wednesday night at 7. Don't miss it. It's going to be awesome.